Going to talk about the Cowboys a little bit after that performance last night.
Oh, man.
Monday Night Football. And we're going to bring on my favorite Cowboy of all time, James Washington, a two-time Super Bowl winner. He is joining us right now. J-Dub, what's going on?
Hey, James.
What's up, Chad? What's up, Shaman?
How you doing?
You know me, I'm just chilling like a villain.
That's good, man. That's good.
I'm saying it for the record, James. I'm going to start and fabricate the rumor. You are now the new general manager of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, they'd start winning.
You know what? It's kind of sad because, we think about 23 years ago when we was on top of the mountain, mm-hmm. and the same person who really killed that dynasty, I honestly don't think he knows what he's doing. And it starts with ownership.
Yeah.
It starts with, people want to talk about players. They want to talk about coaches. They want to talk about this and that. And I thank Jerry Jones for everything that he's done for me and my family, the Jones family, for whatever they've done for me for many years. But it has to start at top. And I think they have no idea what the hell they're doing. Hmm. And, I see a lot of guys defending and this and that, but nobody is really holding the person accountable for the disaster and the failure of the Dallas Cowboys for the past 23 years.
Wow. But James, do you think Jerry Jones himself, I mean, obviously he's living in denial, but do you think he's aware of his verbiage? I mean, like yesterday after the game last night, when he says, well, if we play better, we'll win more games. Well, no bleep, Sherlock. Okay. But, does he get it, or is he just living in a bubble?
I think they live in a bubble. We used to talk about Al Davis. Rest in peace, Al Davis. Mm-hmm. And I loved Al Davis. I knew him personally. But we all used to say that he was a renegade and a guy who had foresight for the game. And I think Jerry Jones kind of wanted to be a replica of that, mm-hmm. as far as the character and the image. But what he has done, and it started my last year there. Mm-hmm. I'm going all the way back to when he hired Barry Switzer. And although Barry Switzer inherited a Super Bowl championship team, it's just not the same type of people in that locker room. Mm-hmm. These are not the same kind of kids. They don't play for each other like we played for each other. Mm-hmm. They don't focus on the entire team. I mean, it's a lot of individuals that's playing a team sport. In order to be a champion, you got to be a team that plays a team sport. James. Even though we know, and Yosh always say, I used to tell Sheeman, there's no I in team, mm-hmm. but you do need a bunch of individuals to become a team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is the problem that I think. It starts in your locker room. If you don't have the right leadership in your locker room, we've watched Michael Irvin go off and we hear all the other people making comments, but the fact is, it's a difference in showmanship and passion.
James Washington is with us.
Teams that win championships have a lot of passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, your team definitely did as well. Does Jerry Jones listen to anybody, or is he just talk to Steven and Steven talks to Jerry, and that's how all their decisions are made? Is that their bubble, just those two?
I think it became that bubble. Mm-hmm. I think that, and then you hire a coach that don't really have any input.
Yeah.
A head coach that says, I'm just happy to have a job. I'm happy to keep my job.
Yeah.
You can't look at Dak and you can't look at the young players that they have. They just got Coop over there. They're moving in the right direction. The defense is playing well enough, but it just doesn't seem that they have enough what we would call on the field to overcome mistakes. They don't have enough on the field to make those key turnovers when they need it. They don't have enough to make that big play, may it be on offense or defense, because they don't have any super studs. And see, a lot of people, we look at the stars of the team, and when you look at real football teams, when you look at quality football teams, it's not the big name guys that help you win championships. It's the role players. It's the guy who, you know, maybe in the fourth, fifth round draft pick that steps up and just outdo and outperform because he knows that he is equal as the other guys that's on the squad.
Well, another thing,
and that's where you have so much. I used to say parity, mm-hmm. but you have the have and the have nots, and the haves don't really give a darn about the have nots.
Well,
you can feel it in locker rooms.
Yeah,
speaking of have not, Ezekiel Elliott had not touched the ball last night enough, in my opinion. Six touches in the second half. I don't give a damn what the score is. That's ridiculous. And I don't know what Jason Garrett's doing. He doesn't project leadership to me, James. He just doesn't as a head coach. And he's probably, I'm sure he's a fine gentleman and probably a better coordinator. And I know they've had some decent records in the past, but I don't know. I look at him on the sideline, and I don't usually comment about, you know, body language and all that nonsense because I think it gets overrated. But with his case, he just doesn't ooze leadership to me. Am I off base?
Shep, I think you're right on base, and a lot of people don't want to talk about those type of things and how important that is in a winning team. And we can just go through the history of teams that won, and we go through the history of their coaches. You know, and we talk about how Gruden and Barry Switzer, I kind of put Gruden and Barry Switzer in the same mm-hmm. light as far as winning their championships.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys inherited teams that was going to win with them or without them. But then there's coaches that make the team. There's coaches that when you walk in a locker room, every player respects that guy. And it's sad to see that, you know, when you walk in a locker room, and I'll say this about North Turner. North Turner was probably one of the best offensive coordinators that I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a very good head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that, and that's where I look at Garrett. I think that Jason and what he brings to the table is a lot of knowledge. He's very smart offensively. He's in tune. But sometimes you need a different kind of man to move the guys to the next level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. James Washington is with us here.
I'm in 100% agreement with that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
J-Dub, how about your opinion on Dak Prescott, who came on the scene quick? He was flashy as a rookie. They decided they can move on from Tony Romo, and he has regressed since. Has he regressed because he has mediocre coaching around him, or has he regressed because he's really not that good? Do you think he can be good?
I think he can be good. Okay. I don't think he'll be a great player, mm-hmm. but I think he, in this league, I think he can be efficient. He's shown that he can. Football comes on offense, I think, in categories. You have to be able to run the football. If you notice how, you know, Dallas Cowboy plays, they progress down the field. But if you go back and do some stats, they're not throwing the ball deep to loosen up the defense. First of all, because they don't have anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just inherited a guy that I don't think that's a number one, but obviously, you know, people think that he's a number one, and obviously the ownership thought he was a number one to give up a number one.
Yeah.
But you need more than just one receiver on the team. You need probably three dudes. You need a tight end that can put pressure on these linebackers and these safeties. You need some slot guys, and they're not the big name guys that just can make plays. I mean, I'm not a big New England Patriots fan, but before, you know, they became the New England Patriots, they had guys just coming from nowhere, making plays. So what it comes down to in football, and I've always told you this, Sheeman, when we say, you know, who can make a play?
Mm-hmm.
If you out there practicing, you part of the 53-man roster, you should be able to make a play.
Yeah.
If one person on defense, and it's 11 guys, if one person make a play, that's 11 plays. You got a chance to win on defense.
Mm-hmm. James, I think it's a great
point.
I think it's a great point. And me being from New England originally, I understand. But I look at the game the other night, and you see, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson. You know, the last three games, really, when Sony Michel hasn't been able to play. I mean, you know, if you're not watching the game, you look at the stats. Oh, but it's Cordarrelle Patterson. Never played running back before. Never utilized that way. But and it's not just the Patriots. Other teams that are championship caliber, you know, do that kind of thing with their personnel. You're exactly right. It's not always the first round pick or the star quarterback. It's the Cordarrelle Pattersons of the world, or the James Whites of the world, or you know, other, you know, third string running backs, that third down running backs. Those are the ones that are make the plays, but and are big time. But Troy Aikman's comments from last night. How ticked off is Jerry? Will he have a one up? Will he ever speak to Jerry? Will Jerry ever want to speak with him again? And I'm wondering, you know, I mean, Troy's been a little critical in the past, but not like this. Does he carry any weight at all with Jerry?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they have a great relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have won three Super Bowls, you're a Hall of Famer out of his program. So they have a great relationship. So it's not really about the relationship that they have. It's about Troy has a job to do, and yeah, he's very good at what he does. And what he is not going to do, him being my teammate mm-hmm. in college and him being my teammate in the pros, is he doesn't speak out unless he is educated and he's speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't a very loud leader, but when he spoke in our locker room, people listened, because the fact is he's going to speak the truth.
Yeah.
And he's going to speak what he feels is the truth. So at some point in time in any business, and this is a guy who has a great history, his history is the Dallas Cowboys, and he feels as much as every Cowboy fan and every Cowboy player, because they know we all make money when the Cowboys are doing great. Regardless, America's team, when they're down, football just is not as fun.
Yeah.
We all know that.
Yeah.
Because they're always looking for the story of the good and the bad. You know, the Patriots been on top, but it's just not a, you know, everybody's like, okay, that's fine. But, you know, when the Raiders, the Cowboys, you know, they're Pittsburgh Steelers, it's just a different carry. It's a different flow when they're on the top. And it just seems that the football world and the football guys are all lined up, especially when the Cowboys are on top.
I know she didn't mention my Detroit Lions. Thank you. It's just not the same. Well, J-Dub, it is always awesome to hear your voice. Give my best to your family, and thank you for carving out some time for us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jamie. I'm gonna keep going with the rumor. I'm still going to keep fabricating the rumor as best I can that you're going to be the next GM.
All right, that sounds good. He'll be agreeing.
Don't want that job.
All right, you can be a highly paid consultant. All right, J-Dub, thank you very much.
You guys have a great day. Shep, you enjoy. Take care of my boy, Sheeman.
Always. Right. Yeah, really always. Got to get him out of those white socks. But.
Yeah. That is James Washington, everybody. Former Dallas Cowboy, two-time Super Bowl winner, and also played out at UCLA. And always good to have his insight on the dumpster fire now known as the Dallas Cowboys.